How's that? Is it on now? Can you hear me? Okay. All right, let me go back over that. No. Oh, praise the Lord. Some of you are going to wonder, as I stand here with this big sore on my forehead, how that happened. And we were on our way down here, and some guy mouths off on the highway, and I pulled over. And he got out with a baseball bat. And no. I got a lady back here going, No, it was stupidity. That made a better story, though, didn't it? Yeah. But no, I was rushing around at home trying to get things done. We moved Larry, for those of you that were at the camp meeting. If you hadn't met my brother Larry before, he was with me there. We got Larry moved back into his house, and that's what I was trying to do before we came up here on this planned trip, my grandson Braden. And I was rushing around stupidly and raised up underneath something that just as I came up, it caught my forehead and just peeled off a whole bunch of skin. And anyway, so that'll clear that up. And I won't be able to, okay? I did not shed a tear, brother, never cried out. You know that's right. I did not. I grabbed my forehead like this and I said, thank you, Lord. Praise God. Oh, no. Oh, my. And but I could, yeah, anyway, that's as far as we ought to go. God's good. Amen. So we showed up to hunt. I guess the story continues. And I'm all excited. First time I got to hunt with my grandson in a number of years, and I was all excited when he called and asked me if we could do this. And so, praise God, man, I came down here just excited to go hunting. We went out last night. We walked in. I walked that mountain together. We walked up and down, around, and everything was going great. We came back about dark to the truck, and I said, let's sit down here in this little canyon for just a second while and wait and see if something comes up. So we went down there just a few steps, and I said, I'm going to move over there against these rocks so we can sit, and I stepped on a stone about this big. And as I stepped on that stone and took the weight off my other foot, that thing rolled over, and my ankle went one way, my leg went the other way, and my body crossed them both. And as I went down, it just went. And I laid there, hoping I was going to live. But God's good. Amen. In all things, because I'm telling you, I didn't think I was going to be able to walk this morning. When I got up this morning, I thought I was going to have to crawl to the bathroom. And I said, Lord, I need help. And I sat there for a few minutes, and I decided to stand on the one leg and hop if I could. And as I stood up, I put that other leg down, and I found out if I keep it straight, it doesn't hurt me as well. And so I can walk. I will not be able to run the aisles. So I know some of you are disappointed. I want, you know how I do that, right? But we will get into the Word of God. Take your Bibles in hand. Go with me to the book of John, chapter. I struggled back and forth. As a matter of fact, this morning I almost changed the message again. But I believe this is where God will have us to go. The book of John, chapter number 6. John, the 6th chapter. I posed a question out of this chapter, and as I looked at it over and over, I thought, you know what? There's another question that needs to be asked first. And so I want to pose two questions to you this morning, recognizing that I am speaking mostly to the children of God, realizing that most of you, as I look at your faces, I know you, and some of you I don't know, and I'm thankful to get acquainted with you today. But the most important thing that we have by means of the question that I will pose is, and the question I had written down was, why do you follow Jesus? But the more important question is, do you follow Jesus? And that's a question that must be answered first. Do you follow Jesus? We're going to look into this passage of Scripture. And we're going to address some of the ways we can know whether or not we are following Jesus. And hopefully discover the power that only God can give that we might follow more closely. So as we look into the Bible this morning, I'm going to ask you please to bow your heads with me and ask God with me. You know, when the preacher prays, don't just let the preacher pray. Pray with me and ask God to bless his only people. Father, we bow this morning, and Lord, you know my heart, and I lifted up to you just moments ago, Father, the desire that I have to be a blessing today, not to my glory, but only to your glory. Father, for your people, I ask you that you might use me to speak to hearts. And Father, I recognize that only your Holy Spirit can do that work, and so I pray now that you'll allow us, Lord, to submit ourselves as your Spirit moves in the midst today, because you promised that your word will not return void, and all I have to do is put the word out. And dear God, you'll do the rest. And I thank you for that, and I pray today that hearts will be open and submissive as your Spirit moves in our midst today to draw us ever closer to you. And we praise you for what you're going to do, because you are faithful. Asking it all in Jesus' name. Amen. The question that I posed was a part of the reading beginning in chapter 6 at the first verse. It says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him. Amen. I mean, that's a good vision. You got Christ, and you got a multitude of people following him. Amen. I like that. But the Bible began chapter number 6 with, after these things. So what were those things that preceded this, that now this multitude is following him? So we go back to the 5th chapter, and I'm just going to rehearse for you some things quickly here. Because chapter 5 starts with the fact that Jesus healed that man on the Sabbath day. You remember he was there by the pool of Bethsaida, and he was awaiting the stirring of the water as it happened in the season of the year when the angel would stir the waters, and then the first one that would get into the water would be healed. And Jesus is passing by, and there's a man that is there, and he's 38 years crippled. He couldn't get into the pool. Even when he recognized the water was stirred, he couldn't move fast enough, and so somebody would always get in before him. I mean, I picture this man, I don't know how long he'd been there, maybe the whole 38 years. I don't know. But he wanted desperately to be healed. And the Lord walks by and he sees the man, and as he walks by the man, in verse number 6 of that 5th chapter, he says, wilt thou be made whole? And the man begins, the impotent man answered him and said, sir, I have no man, and when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth in before me. And Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately, I love that. Man, I love that when God does something, he does it now. Amen. And it says, and immediately, the man was made whole, and he took up his bed and he walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Well, there's a problem with that. The Jews had a law that said, you know, nothing was to be done on the Sabbath. No work was to be done. They see this man carrying his bed. You're not supposed to carry your bed. Not supposed to be doing those things. And so they approached the man and said, what are you doing? It's the Sabbath day. Why are you carrying your bed? And he said, well, the man that healed me. Man, can you imagine? They didn't even recognize the guy. He laid there 38 years. They didn't even know him. They didn't recognize him as the man that laid by the pool. How do you walk by somebody 38 years and not know him? You know why? Because they didn't care. That's a sad truth. And child of God, be careful now. How many do we walk by daily and don't recognize the need? Well, he said, you can't do that. He said, this man came and he told me, he said, arise, take up my bed and walk. Man, God tells me to get up and I can stand up after 38 years. I'm going to do what he tells me. So he said, took up his bed. And they said, well, you can't be doing that. Who was this man? He said, I don't know. And he didn't. He didn't know who he was. So Jesus finds him later in the synagogue and goes to him. And he tells him, be careful, say no more, lest something more devastating might happen, and the man then finds out who he is. I mean, at that point, he's going to question, who are you? And he said, I'm Jesus. And he went, and so immediately he went out and he told them that it was Jesus that made him whole. Now here's the crazy thing. So the man's been made whole. This miracle has taken place. I mean, wondrous as it was, should have excited a lot of people. I read this and I only found one guy got excited. The guy got made whole. As a matter of fact, when they heard that it was Jesus, verse number 16 says, and therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus. Healed a man, they're going to persecute him. Because he told him to take up his bed and walk. Boy, they better find out that he is Lord of the Sabbath, amen? He declares that later. But anyway, it says, they persecuted Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things. What things? The miracle on the Sabbath day. Now, I had to stop and look at that for a long time, and I thought, now there's a real good cause to want to kill the guy. Somebody's going to have to explain that to me later. I mean, I understand that it went against their law, but man, I'm telling you what, listen to me, one guy who's been made whole, carrying his bed, and they want to kill the guy that healed him. A lot of this doesn't make sense, but Jesus goes on to declare it. We're not going to take time to read all this, but beginning at verse number 17, it says, but Jesus answered them. I didn't find where they asked him the question. You can read it. I didn't find a question there. But he answered them. Why? Because they were persecuting him and they sought to slay him. So he knows their heart. Amen. Boy, you better keep that in mind. God knows your heart even when you don't speak it. And can I tell you something? Sometimes your life speaks louder than your mouth speaks. Other people know your heart too. Ooh, a lot to think about today. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Boy, that upset him even more. His Father. Well, this man just claims to be the Son of God. Now they're really going to kill him. Look at it. It says, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him. The Son of their God. No. They didn't accept that. They claimed to be the Son of God. Because he had not only broken the Sabbath, but he also said that God was his Father, making himself to be equal with God. Listen to me. God did something here through Jesus Christ. And you got to understand this. We're going to move over into the next chapter in just a minute. But you got to understand this because there's a lot given in these words. And you can see this oratory that Jesus gets here is quite lengthy. And he's going to give them a lot of information. And we're not going to take the time this morning to read it all because once I start reading something, I got to comment. So I'm not going to take time to read it all, but I want you to understand what he said here. Because what he said is, his Father gave him a work to do. Amen? Child of God, we have work to do. His Father gave him the power to do it. Amen. Now, you and I know that Jesus Christ is God. But he declares here that it was his Father that gave him the power to do it. He's making this to be understood. The Son can do nothing. Verse number 19 says, the Son can do nothing of himself. And so he's saying the Father not only gave him the work to do, but he gave him the power to do it. Not only did he give him the power to do it, but he gave him the understanding. He gave him the wisdom to know what he was to do. Because Jesus Christ only did the will of God. So he understood the will of the Father. Amen? And so he gave him wisdom. And then not only did he give him wisdom, according to this, as he gives this oratory, he gave him authority. He said he hath committed all judgment unto the Son. So he not only gave him a work, gave him the power to do it, gave him the understanding and wisdom to know what it was that he was supposed to do, But he also gave him the authority to do it. Child of God, listen to me. God has given us all of those things. Amen or oh me. We don't get about the Father's business because we don't know that we're equipped to do it. We have everything that Jesus has. God gave us a work to do. He empowered us to do it through the Holy Spirit that indwells us. And through that Spirit, He gives us the wisdom to do it by means of the Word of God. The Spirit leads us into all truth. Amen? When you yield yourself to the Spirit of God, as you read the Word of God, the Spirit of God is going to reveal truth to you. I got so sick in Bible college because they said, you got to go out and you got to buy this translation of the Bible, and you need to get this translation of the Bible, and you got to have this translation, and then get this commentary, and you got to have this commentary, and you got to. And I said, I'm not buying any of those things. Oh, by the way, I got kicked out of Bible college. I did 3 years. I got a degree in theology. I had a 3-year degree in theology. But the fourth year, they decided that the council, because every year they had to accept you, and the council of 12 men that was supposed to accept me decided that probably wasn't a good thing to do. And I asked them, I said, why is that? I mean, why? Because, well, you're a rebel. And I stood before those 12 men and I said, well, if standing firm on the Word of God brands you a rebel, then that's a brand I'll wear proper. I said, thank you, men, for the 3 years you allowed me to be in your top. And I walked in. When they told me I had to buy all this, I said, I'm undoing it. I'm not spending my money buying perversions of the Bible. And I don't need to know what men say about the Word of God. What I need to know is what the Holy Spirit says to me about the Word of God, because I believe God will lead you in the things of truth. Now, some people find it hard to understand the Bible, and that's absolutely true. The Bible was never meant to be easy to understand. You know that, child of God? That's why it says, study to show thyself approved, the workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Man, if you just opened up and you read it. Now, I tell people all the time, there are some things you may change my mind about as it is to the Word of God. There are some things we can discuss and you may change my mind. Why? Because I've been convinced of those things by what other men have said. But I'm going to tell you something. You're never going to change my mind on things I've been convicted of by the Holy Spirit. Because you will not overrule the Holy Spirit. Amen? Child of God, listen to me. God not only gave you a work to do, we may not even get into the message. We might stick with the introduction. God not only gave you a work to do, He gave you the power to do it. And He gave you the understanding to be able to know what to do. And by means of His Word, He gave you the authority. Amen? I preached at a men's mission one time. Had a group of men. Large group of men at that mission. And I'd spoke there on many occasions. We were on a schedule to speak there about every other month. And this particular time I was down there to speak to the men at that mission, I was preaching the Word of God. I was preaching Jesus Christ. And I was preaching that they needed to be saved. There would be no power to overcome their addictions or their problems, their sins, without Jesus Christ. And as I preached along there, it went along really well. I seemed to have all their attention. And then we were getting into the invitation. And I said, you need to come and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You need to come. We're going to have an invitation in just a moment. And you need to come and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And a man third row back, right over here, stood up, jumped to his feet, pointed his finger at me and said, you liar! You're a liar! He said, tell them the truth. Well, I'm going to tell you why. I didn't know what to do. I mean, I had a man standing there yelling at me, calling me a liar in front of everybody when we were getting ready to have the invitation. It seemed like everything had gone so well. I had no idea what to do. And in that moment, I said, Lord, what do I do? And just like this, I looked at him, I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, sit down and be silent. And that man dropped to his feet, and his mouth sealed shut. And I said, okay, now I need everybody's attention again, right up here. And another man jumped up in the back. Only I saw him because he's all the way in the back. He jumped up in the back. And I thought, oh, my God. And before he could open his mouth, he fell over and went into an epileptic seizure. And I said, okay, they're going to take care of him. Everybody continue to look up here. And we had 10 men saved that night. God has given you the authority, not of yourself. I have no way to shut that man up. But in the name of Jesus. And can I tell you something? We use that authority far too little, child of God. Can I share another? We may not get past this introduction this morning, but I pray it'll be a blessing to you. I was working with a pastor straight out of Bible college. He recruited me to come be his associate. And I was working with this pastor, and we had a fire at the church. He was going to baptize on a Sunday, and he had put an electric heater down in a wooden baptistry. And the water had drained out in the night, and so it caught the baptistry on fire. Well, it didn't do any damage to the church. There was no fire damage, but there was smoke damage everywhere. I mean, that smoke, when I got there on that Sunday morning to unlock the doors, I mean, I couldn't tell what was wrong. It was black inside. I looked at the doors and I said, oh, they tinted the doors. I mean, I was looking, I thought they tinted the doors. And I turned that can, I opened that door, smoke rolled out of that, and I thought, oh my word, what no? So anyway, we had this fire. So 2 weeks later, but of course we got the insurance company involved. We had, and so 2 weeks later, I get a phone call from the pastor. He said, "Look, Moore, are you somewhere where you could come to the church?" And I said, "If you need something," he said, "I think you better come up here." I said, "What's going on?" He said, "I just need you to come right now." So I said, "I'll be there in 10 minutes, man." I jumped in the car, I run up there, and I go inside, and there's this big man. And I'm talking Goliath-looking dude. I'm not kidding you. I mean, I'm not a small guy. Come on. Somebody amen. I'm not a small guy, but there's this, I mean, there was this big guy, intimidating. I mean, he was like 6'6", and close to 300 pounds. He had a bit of a muscle, man. I mean, he went from a waist about this big to a chest about this big. And he said, and I walked in, and here he's standing there in the pasture sitting down. And this guy's tired over him. And I said, "What's going on?" And the pastor said, they're not going to cover any of our dances with insurance. I said, "What?" I said, "Why do we have insurance?" And the guy said, "Well, it's not that you don't have insurance. You do have insurance, but it doesn't cover this type of dance." I said, "Really?" And I said, can I look at the list? And so he handed me this list, and he had checked off, not covered, not covered, not covered, not covered, not covered. There was nothing. I mean, they didn't cover anything. They weren't going to cover the cleanup. They weren't going to cover the, you know, replacing the sound system, which had just been, it was up there in the heat, and so it had, but anyway. They weren't going to cover any of the, I mean, nothing. They weren't going to cover anything. I said, "Well, I don't think this is right." He said, "Really? What do you know about it?" I said, "I don't know anything about it. But I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I said, I'm going to get a hold of my father. And I'm going to have a talk with him about this." And he said, "Well, what does your father have to do with this?" I said, "He's a judge. And so I'm going to get a hold of my father. I'm going to talk to him about this. And I'm going to see what he thinks." And he goes, "Well, hold on, hold on. Oh, no, hold on." I said, "Okay, what?" He said, let me see that list again. So I handed him back the list, and I stood there with him. And, of course, he's up here, and I'm down here, and he's holding it out there so I can see. He said, I think we can take care of this. And hey, we'll go ahead and take care of this. And I kept looking at him. We'll take care of this. And you know what? We'll go ahead and take care of this. And by the time he was done, he had marked off everything on the list. He's going to take it. I said, well, that's good. Then I won't have to involve my father. And he said, no, we'll take care of it. I said, okay. So he walked out. I mean, he left. And the pastor looked up at me and he said, you never told me your father was a judge. I said, my heavenly father is the supreme judge. And he said, really? I said, absolutely. And I guarantee you he'll take care of it. Folks, I'm telling you the truth. We do not use the authority that is given us of our God when we have a need. We need to lean on him more often. And we say we lean on him, but I'm talking about we need to lean on him in real ways. We need to let him know that we really do believe that he cares. And that he'll meet the need. And I'll tell you this, as Brother Ted said, God has proven himself faithful. He never fails. So, not only did he give him a word, give him the power to do it, give him the wisdom to do it, give him the authority to do it, but he gave him a message. Amen. In verse number 24 of that chapter, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word. And you remember Jesus said, whatever the Father speaketh, that's what I say. So he gave him a word. God gives you a word. Amen? And I'm telling you, listen to me, unless that word includes Jesus Christ, you're using the wrong word. Man, the story that we tell is the story of Christ. That's the word that we take to the world. That's the word that he gave to his son to bring into the world, to declare it before he ever performed it. Amen. He told his disciples that he must suffer and die. He told the world that he must suffer and die. He told the world what the plan of God was. He declares it right here in this passage of Scripture. He goes on to talk about the bread of life, and he was that bread. They talked about manna from heaven. He wasn't talking about that manna. He was talking about the bread of life. And he said, you've got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. Well, that offends some people. But I'm going to tell you what, you've got to take him as he is. It's not talking about literally eating his flesh and drinking his blood. They got all upset about that. But I'm telling you, friend, listen to me. The Bible says, come taste and see the Lord is here. Amen. How do you taste? You believe. You believe. He gave to the church the Lord's Supper so that we would be mindful that it is his flesh and it is his blood that saves us. Amen. It's that faith in what he did on Calvary by the shedding of his blood, the piercing of his flesh. Oh, friend, listen. You need to get the story. You need to get the word done. You need to stop walking by there. If you don't recognize the need, and start sharing that word. Start sharing that truth. He gave him a message. And he took that message to the world. All right. Now I've got a new story. That was introduction. Back in chapter number 6. Said, but a great multitude followed him, verse number 2, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. Jesus Christ had compassion for the needs of men. And it's got to start there. Great multitude saw what he did, and they followed him. Now, the first question I ask you is, do you follow Jesus? Have you come to the understanding of the truth of why he came? Do you know, listen to me, do you know without a doubt that you are a child of God? Do you know that you trusted in that shed blood and the sacrifice of the Lamb of God for the saving of your soul? Have you repented of your sin? Call that to God and ask Him to save you based on that faith and that only, that His Son is the only Savior, the only one that can save. Do you have that confidence? If you do not, you can today. Because the Bible declares, let this devil be the death of salvation. If you know that, child of God, are you following me? If you are following me, why are you following me? Well, obviously, we're going to say, well, we're following Him because He left us. We followed Him because He saved us. We followed Him because He called us. And those are great words. But remember what I told you? God knows your heart. And your actions speak louder than your words. Why are you following Him? Had a great multitude following Him here. Fantastic. Man, they saw the miracles. You know, some people followed just because of the miracles. They just want to see more miracles. They've never received the greatest miracle of salvation. But they want to see Him continue to perform miracles. And can I say this? That some of those that have received the greatest miracles of salvation only follow to see more miracles. Why do you follow? You know, sometimes misperceptions cause people to see only what they want to see. They didn't see a compassionate Savior. They saw a man that could perform great miracles. So they followed. Motivated by physical needs. Not others' physical needs, but their own. You know, if you are so consumed with yourself as it relates to your service to God and not consumed with the needs of others, then your needs will not be met. You've got to have compassion. God hates pride, and you know when we're consumed with ourselves, it's just pride. I need, I want, I have to have. And I laid down last night in bed, my legs were bad. I didn't sleep at all. I did a lot of prayer. I did a lot of prayer. And I'll confess, you know, I asked God to heal my legs. I said, I know you can do it. You've done so many things for me, and I know you can do it. And if you choose to do it, I'll be more than grateful. I mean, I'll be, if you know, as I laid there, and I started singing the words. They have a whole lot greater need than I have with just a sore leg. And you know what? I'm standing up here moving this. I couldn't bend it before, and I got my knee bent right now. God's working for me. But as I laid down at bed with my leg hurting so bad I couldn't sleep, I started praying about everything. I could have wasted my time there in a pity party for myself. But I started thinking about others that have greater needs than I have. I got people on the list that need to be saved. I got a list of people that are aged and suffering horribly that ask me to pray. Can I tell you this? I didn't even sleep, but I got a whole lot of talking to God. Why do you follow? See, some follow because of the miracles. Then he goes on down, and I'm not going to, again, we don't have time because I'm, and sometimes I just get going. But anyway, it goes on through here, and it talks about the fact that he fed 5,000. You remember the story. Five little loaves. I don't know if you caught that when you read it, but it's five little loaves and two small fishes. And he fed 5,000. Somebody said, Well, you know, the Bible contradicted itself there, because in another passage it says 3,000. How do you answer that? Was it 3,000 or was it 5,000? I said it was both. He did it twice. Amen. I don't care what you believe. I'm telling you. He said 3,000 in one place, said 5,000 in another. He did it twice. Amen. I'm never going to limit my God, I can tell you that. And we do that. Child of God, we do that. We limit our God. We limit Him in our thinking. We limit Him in what He desires to do. We limit Him. You know the passage. Sisera said, he did not many marvelous works there, or wonderful works there. He did not many miracles there. Why? Why? Because of their unbelief. They limited Him. It's going to shock you when we get to heaven, child of God, and you come to discover what God wanted to do with you. And you didn't know. I believe that with all my heart. We're going to be shocked at the blessings that God wanted to pour out on us. But He couldn't do it because we didn't give Him the glory for the last ones before. We started saying, look what I did. Look at this. Look what I did. Man, you better get back to remembering that everything you have and all that you are is only because of the goodness of God. And give God the glory for it all. And I guarantee you, if you give Him the glory for what He has done, what He is doing, then He'll open the windows of heaven. Listen to me. Friend Malachi says God's wanting to open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there'll not be room enough to receive it. Amen. Stop, Lord. No more. Woo! I want to get there. Covered up with blessings and say, Lord, I can't. No more. No more. Woo, God's been good to me. God's been good to me. Why do you follow? You follow to the man? And then after He fed the 5,000, after He did that with those five little loaves and those two small fishes, He blessed it and said, start handing it out, boys. And then every time they broke it, it grew. Every time they peeled off a fish, it was restored, man. Two little fishes, they kept peeling off and putting it down. They looked down, there's still two fishes. They peel off, put down, there's still two. They went through the whole thing. Fed them all. They didn't just get a bite, folks. The Bible says they had all they wanted. They ate till they were full. Can I tell you? I think we stop eating once this year. Oh, I'm not talking about it at the dinner table. I'm talking about it the blessings of God. I think we just stop eating way too soon. Not only did they all get full, but He said, go collect it up. Lord, did we just start? We just started with five little, we fed 5,000. I mean, what do you think we're going to, He said, go collect it up. So they went back through and 12 baskets. 12 baskets. Where'd that come from? I'm telling you, God poured out a blessing. There was not room enough to receive it. They had left over. That's my God. Well, the Bible says after He fed the 5,000, there was another crowd following. Boy, the crowd multiplied. Man, one day they got up the next day and they looked out and they were gone. They said, where'd He go? And the disciples were gone. They saw them leave, but Jesus stayed behind. Well, He went walking to them on the water. You remember the story? Storm had come up. He's walking out there. Man, when they realized who it was, He said, it is I. Be not afraid. They received Him into the boat. And the Bible says, as soon as He stepped into the boat, they were on the other side. Ooh, I love that too. Did you get it? As soon as He stepped into the boat, they were where they were supposed to be. And you need to let Him in the boat. You want to get where you're supposed to be. Just let Him in the boat. Man, they got there. And they found the Lord. They found Him out there. He looked over, saw this big multitude coming, following him. Verse number 25, it says, and when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Did you get the question? Rabbi, when came thou? How'd you get here? Jesus answered them and said, oh, I got in the boat and just came on over. No, that's what he, that wasn't the answer he gave them. You see, sometimes you ask questions that you really, you're posing a question, but not the question you really want the answer to. We put out those questions to God, why this and why this? You know, I laid there yesterday after my knee snapped and I said, why? I mean, that's a, why? I did. But then I remembered my grandson and I had a long talk on the way up here. We talked about the goodness of God and we talked about all that God is doing. And I said to him, I said, not everything that happens is going to be pleasant. But it's going to be good. Because God said, amen, that he works all things. I'm laying there thinking all this. So he said, Pop, are you okay? And man, he's an EMT, so he started checking me all out. And I said, I'm fine. So he sat me up, got me back on my feet. Praise God, I'm doing better right now than I've done since then. I think I'm going to have to keep preaching. Man, I'm telling you, look at this. I'm telling you, man. Look at this, brother. And I'm telling you, folks, I wasn't faking any of that. I was hurting horribly. I got no pain right now. I asked God to take care of it. I prayed last night. I said, Lord, I know you can. This is my God. I didn't even know what he was doing. He didn't do it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. They asked the question, but it wasn't the question that they needed to be asked. So he gave them the answer they needed to hear. Look at the answer. He didn't answer the question. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you ate the loaves and the fishes. You ate the loaves and the fish. He said, you don't care about me. You're just trying to get your tummy full again. If we're not careful, you know what we do? We get caught up with asking God to meet the needs of the flesh. The lust of the flesh. Because God will always meet you. But we get tied up asking God to meet the lust of the flesh. He said, you're not following me because you love me. You're following me because you want me to do it. Thank you, Lord. I wanted him to heal my life. But I told him, I said, to your glory, I want you to do it. When I prayed last night, I said, Lord, I need this strength. One more time. Why are you crying? You saw the miracles. You have needs that you want him to meet. Are you selfish in those needs? Why are you fine? And then it got down to the point that then he said, God, evidence yourself. Prove yourself. God is proving himself. He is proving himself every moment. He just gave you another breath. He just gave you another beat of heart. He just gave you another opportunity to listen to the truth. And in a moment, he's going to give you an opportunity to respond. If you don't, we thank God for you. I want to know this is you. Please. That's what they said. See, in verse number 29, well, let's see, verse number 28. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. And they said therefore unto him, what sign? Prove yourself. Give us a sign. I have to laugh there. They saw the healing. They saw the feeding of the 5,000. They're saying, give us a sign. Can I tell you the shortest thing in the human life is a memory? How quickly we forget what God has done. Child of God, it really is just that stupid on our part. God will work one of the greatest miracles in our lives in a moment. And in the next moment, we're fearful because of something else that has cropped up. Because we just forgot how big our God was. Why are you following him? Are you seeking more miracles? Are you wanting to fulfill the lust of the flesh? Are you wanting him to evidence himself further? Why do you follow? Then they fell back on their heritage to justify themselves. We have Abraham. Moses did this. Remember when Moses gave us manna in the way? He said, Moses didn't give you no manna. Amen. They forgot who did it. You see, they came missing the truth, and I think a lot of times we miss the truth when it's right before us. I got four more points, but I'm going to stop it out. I think a lot of times we miss the truth when it's right before us. When we prayed a while ago, did you ask God to speak to your heart? Then listen to what he said. Stop right now and listen to what he's saying. I'm telling you, don't miss it. Don't miss it. God has given you another opportunity. Can I tell you, I believe time is short. I believe that we could be raptured out of here at any time. You don't have to believe that. I don't care. I believe it. And I'm going to live my life as though this could be the last minute. You're not going to want to leave here if you have things that you need to take care of with God. When he's given you this opportunity, don't miss it. Don't miss it. Let's all stand and put your head down. Put your head down and your eyes closed. God, speak to your heart today. Let me speak to you, child of God. Are there things in your life you know you need to get right with you today? Would you do this for me? We're going to go to prayer again. And listen, I believe in the power of prayer. Would you let me pray to you intelligently with no one looking around? Would you put your hands up, please, and pray to me? I know that God does.